This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Owen, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are things?
I'm very well. We also have Graham Hunter with us straight off the top because that's how big a morning it is. Graham, how are you?
Listen, Joe, let's cut with the formalities. Yes, she's going to Villa.
Right. I mean, why not? Why not? Come on, he's a romantic, a different colour. Like, he'd be beloved of an entire gelatinous gloop in the Midlands. It's like
you'd need to be a new romantic, wouldn't you, rather than just a romantic? It's going to take something special, no?
Can we start with the contractual situation? Because I thought you were bang on when we talked last, and I think you might still be bang on about the contractual situation. So for anybody who's in any doubts about where legally we stand with Leo Messi's freedom and availability, what is the scenario?
It is sad that, you know, when we talk about the greatest players ever been, that we have to talk about legal details. But you're right. There is no question whatsoever that the get out of jail and monopoly card that he built into his contract during negotiations in the early half of 2017 says that unless he informs the club in written manner, the same manner as he used yesterday with what was a Purifax, is a registered delivery letter, it's that simple, and unless he notifies them by May, then he can't leave free that summer. If he does, if he chosen at any stage since 2017, following May, if he'd written to them formally saying, I want to leave the club, they were bound to let him go for free by contract, which is, imagine the power he had that allowed him to negotiate that clause in 2017. But also imagine his mindset. I mean, I think that's an important part of what's been happening in all the days leading up to this, but obviously most importantly yesterday and from now on, that as far back as 2017, probably as they're planning it in 2016, they're reckoning there might come a day when we're just sick of what's a trend here, we need to go. So in the registered delivery letter that went to the club yesterday and was bounced back immediately by the club saying by registered delivery, you know, stick it, we might know, we're keeping you. What they said was that he wanted to exercise the leave for free clause, even though in written terms, that's expired. And their argument apparently is going to be that we've had such an odd extended season that August is May, effectively, because of the shutdown here, because of the lack of football. We didn't restart here until June. It's normal. I've never sat on your show and pretended to be a legal expert for all my 1 year of law at Aberdeen University in 1980. But it seems a very, very hard argument to win legally. Although these two have been to the courts before, as you know, in 2008, Barcelona went to the court for arbitration in sport to try and prevent Messi from playing in the Olympics until Pep Guardiola, newly in the door, said that's a, you know, they won their case. This lot, they've been, you know, in court before with him. It's amazing to think back. And Pep Guardiola said, that's rubbish. Even though Russell won their case, he said, Messi, you must go to Beijing. The gamble that paid off. But I don't perceive, honest, or at least it's hard to perceive, lads. I'm sorry, I said that badly. That Barcelona will take recourse to legal arguments in order to retain Messi for a season when they've got an angry, let down, bitter, probably by then ex-captain in their ranks under Koeman. That's a scenario I still find, I was going to say impossible, desperately hard to imagine.
So is there an in-between where it's not 700 million and it's not free, but they agree a price and either Messi pays that price and gets it back from the club he goes to, or the buying club pays that price?
I'd have thought that's a reasonable stance, because for all those who are listening right now and saying, well, no man's bigger than the club. Messi wants to leave for free, and this, despite his numerous trophies, the Ballon d'Or, 634 goals. To suddenly say my contract needs to be interpreted this way, I want to leave for free. There'll be a lot of people, however much they've enjoyed this footballer, been thrilled by him, will be saying, well, no, that can't be. And therefore, I understand your intermediary position. I suspect that even if they said, well, we reckon that right now at 33, he's still patently worth 100 million euros in the market, and then the clubs that want him have still got to pay net somewhere in the region of 45, 50 million euros in wages to match what Messi's earning at the moment, then I think the queue of clubs that can handle this, either by their own will or their football planning or financial fair play, that queue becomes very, very small. So an intermediary position, and there are rumours, started by a radio station last night, that Barcelona have a position that unless the price for Messi, that your intermediary position, was larger than the world record transfer fee, which was for Neymar to Paris Saint-Germain, then no deal. Formally, Barcelona are saying you're locked into the contract. The buyout clause is 700 million euros. You know, the time when you could notify us and leave for free has gone. You're not moving. That's their formal position. But I understand your point, and I think that it would be a clever move by Barcelona to say, well, our reasonableness includes the idea that you could go for 150 million euros. Look how much we've discounted your price, Leo, and then effectively still render him not unbuyable, but extraordinarily difficult to prize free because of all the rules that now touch on what clubs can do to make sure that the books are balanced properly.
Well, can I ask one last question then about that? Is there any possibility that this is actually a political move by Messi to force the current president out now in the hope that he takes Koeman with him and the new president and Xavi are installed in time for the start of the new season? Is it that Machiavellian?
That started as a piece of toast and cheese, and it became a Scooby snack this big. You know, you were going well for a little minute or two. And listen, I don't mean to be a crybaby. I'm going to tell Pat. Pat's already told you that, eh? Now, I listened to the clip, and, you know, it's Pat knows. So the idea of Xavi coming in now is just a non-starter. Here's the proper way to answer your question. Is a power play to force the president out? I think it's wrapped up in the idea that he wants to go. And my words are superseded by absolute miles. When you listen to Victor Font, who I know is probably a less than well-known name to your audience, and the deal is that he last night said on radio he wants to be the president next summer. He's the leading candidate to take over from Bartomeu, and in my opinion, he will win, and he will try to take Xavi with him, and he probably will succeed. He said that he'd spoken to Messi's entourage, by which he can only mean his brother or his father. And they told him, he's quoted as saying that he was told that Messi's desire to leave is firm, and that the only minute possibility of him reversing that decision would be if Bartomeu went. So to ignore that there's a power play element would be naive, but I think it would be ill-advised to think that that's the primary idea. Messi doing this to his public, to football club Barcelona, to his family as well, who he's spoken widely about how little any of them want to leave their Mediterranean side home just outside Barcelona, as Mrs. Merton said. What was it that first attracted you to the multimillionaire Paul Daniels? Why would you really want to leave if you felt that your football project was competitive? So is it a two-in-one potential power play? Might it potentially force Bartomeu out? Yeah, I take your point. But if Bartomeu went instantly, Messi's not a politician. Messi wants to win. And Bartomeu being removed, does that stop them leaking goals, or does it make them more athletic up front? And it's a really nettle-chewing prospect to reckon that if Bartomeu would voluntarily say, now I see the error of my ways. How could I have missed him for the last 10 years as vice president, isn't it? And then he goes and misses, you're beauty. Well, that's a sorted at the back. And no.
Can Bartomeu be impeached, Graham?
There is what's called a censure motion beginning today. One of the other pre-candidates to be president when the obligatory elections take place no later than next summer has begun trawling for votes for a censure motion. The quickest way to say that is that that happened once within our working memory, you and I, which was in the late 2000s, I would say 2009-10, Joan Laporta fell out of favour with his vice presidents. Ferran Soriano, who's now in charge at Manchester City, left. So did Mark Ingler, who's in charge at Lille now. And there was a censure motion which was passed. Laporta was censured and he just shrugged it off. The only thing that could really dramatically alter the situation is if there was an emergency meeting that had enough of the voting members, socios, saying that they wanted Bartomeu out and that they wanted an election. That's a very difficult process to hold. And I say again, you know, in Catalonia, we're in a place where there have been, I mean, nearly 30,000 deaths thanks to COVID. We're supposed to have, nobody is supposed to have meetings of more than 10 people. We've been asked to stay at home voluntarily this time, not by obligation, unless there's urgent business to conduct. The idea of emergency elections right now simply to solve football problems would seem to me grotesque, which I guess in Catalonia means that it's bound to happen.
Did Koeman screw up somewhere along the way here? Was there, is there, in, as the blame gets apportioned out and most of it's going to land at the president, but did Koeman somehow, was there a way that he could have fixed the scenario with Messi? Did he want to fix the scenario with Messi? What's that dynamic like at the moment?
Yeah, I got half of your idea about maybe there being a screw-up, but he couldn't fix it. There's no danger of him being able to fix it. It's the same point as Bartomeu. He comes in and he talks brilliantly. He makes huge promises. Well, Messi's, I've heard that before. Koeman talks a good game. Does that mean that the on-pitch problems are instantly solved? No. In terms of, there's a very clear line of thought that I buy into, that Koeman's vocabulary when he and Messi had the discussion, this is Wednesday, late last week, was, how would I put it, stentorian, sufficiently stentorian to make Messi think, I'm not buying into this. There's a phrase that's bouncing about that evidently was used by Koeman about saying, all privileges are ended here. You know, I'm in charge. There's no favourites. There's no hierarchy anymore. Now, if you say that to Messi, who is extraordinarily proud and can be very spiky and deserves to hold that position on his behaviour and his attitudes and his work, you know, in a pathetic season, he's contributed to well over 50 goals. I think it's 56, 57 between goals scored and assists. And he's been injured you know, seriously during the season, and yet he's picked up the Ballon d'Or, and he's been one of their only two or three players that can hold his head up high after this rotten season. Koeman comes in, carrying the reputation he does, and saying, listen, wee man, I want you to stay, I want to build a team around you, but you have to understand that all privileges are over. You talking to me? If Messi had done a De Niro to him, a taxi driver De Niro to him, then Messi would have been within his rights. So you said screw up, maybe I'll avoid just confirming that phrase, but has he added to the temperature, which is a boiling point at the moment? Yes, so did the club by phoning Luis Suarez. And the sequence of events is important here. Luis Suarez and Messi are umbilically, they're Butch and Sundance, they're umbilically linked on and off the pitch. And the club's able to do with an employee what they wish to within the laws, but to read an article in El País here, I think on, let's call it Sunday, long article where Luis Suarez details exactly, one, that he wants to see out the last year of his contract, two, that he believes he's got goals to score and trophies to win and that he can make a big difference in the remaining year of his contract. And then the next morning, they phone him up from the club and say, you're out, we're breaking your contract, we'll pay you up, but find yourself somewhere else to go, mate. That manner of doing something, particularly after last week, Bartomeu, the president, said there are legends who'll be leaving, but they deserve to go with full honours out the front door. And then the next thing they do is, you know, it's like you drop the soap in the showers and somebody's fiddling with your shorts. It's just, it was ungainly. And I believe that Messi hasn't sent this registered delivery letter saying I want to go because Suarez has been badly treated. But has it accelerated his decision? Yes, I think so. So between Koeman and the club, the bottom line is they've made missteps. And I think the only real question for you and your listeners to work out is, have some of those missteps been deliberate in order to galvanize the situation?
Yeah, and I mean, unless it's absolute ineptitude, saying to Messi, your privileges are gone, and then taking out his favorite lieutenants, like, it's a fairly obvious, well-worn track in any mode of employment, particularly in football.
Possibly I should have said that, Ger. Nice point, well made.
Well, that's, I mean, that's how it works, right? OK, so those battle lines are drawn. If there is a transfer fee, it takes out almost all of the clubs in the world. If there's no transfer fee, then almost all of the clubs in the world are back in. So the next week or so, the next few days, are going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really see how they imagine that they can keep Leo Messi if he maintains his stated desire to leave. The idea of him maybe being stripped of the captaincy, maybe being unhappy, doing the bare minimum for the club, refusing to do any marketing or advertising duties. I don't think he's capable of staying at the club and then not giving everything in matches, but what kind of presence is that? Would Koeman tolerate Messi not speaking to him and just doing his job? It's next to unimaginable that Barcelona can force him to stay and do it healthily. Therefore, although the battle lines are completely drawn at the moment, and Barcelona saying, you're not leaving, and Messi saying, I'm going, there has to be another way. And, you know, I think it'd be foolish of me to say that there's absolutely no way, given all that we've learned about football in our working careers, to say that there's no way that this decision could be rescinded or the situation could change so seismically that Messi views the club and the training atmosphere differently. To say that's impossible would be wrong. But the banker bet at the moment is that he forces his way out, that he's known when he sent this registered delivery letter yesterday, he's known where he wants to go. And yeah, it'll be interesting. And the only four that I've really been talking about, I'm pretty certain that I was first to the story well over a season ago that Inter Miami had been building finances to try and tempt Luis Suarez and Messi to come together as a pair to this new Beckham franchise MLS team. Now, they've contacted both of them. My judgment is that Messi's determination to work and play every day at such a level that he can be prepared for one last shot at a World Cup in Qatar is that I don't understand that he would go to the MLS. I find that hard idea to get to. The other Inter, slightly more known Inter Milan, I don't think that they present a project. I don't think that Conte's tenure there, which seems to have been extended over the last 24 hours, is one where Messi thrives. The squad isn't good enough. They're not going to win the Champions League anytime soon. And for that reason, I discount the team, the club, that has probably tried the hardest with Manchester City. Inter have been at Messi since he was 19, to no joy so far. I think that will continue, which in my opinion leaves City and Paris Saint-Germain, the front three of Neymar, Mbappe and Messi, fed by Ander Herrera and Di Maria, is something that frankly I think he deserves at this stage in his career. And as a neutral, not a Barca fan, I'd hate to see him in League One, but I'd love to see him in that side. I'd love to see him playing with those guys. That would be almost as exciting a prospect as anything I can imagine. But I think City may be in pole position. They have tried so hard over the years to convince the extended Messi family that coming to City is the right thing to do. I'm not certain that would be driven by Pep Guardiola, who, like many coaches today, wants pressing from the front and speed of movement of the ball. And I think that Pep Guardiola might be a passenger on that journey rather than the driver, but City have desperately wanted him. If they can, what's the word I want to use? I don't want to use the word manipulate. If they can finesse their finances, the double F package, sufficiently to beat the other double FFP, then that's the place where I'm certain he would thrive. I'm certain he would enjoy himself. I'm certain he'd be training and learning and working at a level that might help him prepare over the next couple of years until summer 22 and a shot at the Qatar World Cup.
And look, we're out of time, but no chance of a Laudrup, no chance of a Figo, no chance of a Real Madrid swarming in and go, yeah, look, oh, he just did, we stole your boy.
I am willing to say right now that I'll eat my hat. It's not like that. No, it won't happen.
All right. Fair enough, Graham. It's a big story. As always, it's great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.